talk. What a blessing to be here. I want to tell you first off that God is never overworked, overloaded. God is never too busy. Have you ever called a phone number and after push one for English, push two for Spanish, and then they say, do the high call volume. It's going to, well, we appreciate your call, and your call is very important to us, but due to high call volume, there's going to be a wait, 3 or 4 minutes, whatever. I'm sure we've all experienced that. You know, God has a high call volume because people call upon the name of the Lord often, and there's a lot of people in this world. A lot of times we're in distress, we're in need, and we call upon Him. Aren't you glad that He's never overloaded, never too busy? I certainly am. I was talking to a woman recently and shared, my family's already heard about this experience, but hopefully this will be good by way of remembrance for them. I was talking to this woman who said, I don't ask God for things. I just thank God for the things He's done for me. And I thought, you know, that's great to be thankful. It's a good biblical thing to be thankful. The Bible encourages us to give thanks in everything. But she said, I just don't ask Him for anything. And I started thinking about that, and it really hit me. She's not really in the way it came to my mind. She's not in the game, or she's not in the battle. Because if you're in the battle or if you're in the game, then there are requests to be made. There is a battle here that we're involved in. And Paul, when he got close to the end of his ministry, said that he had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith. And we do have a warfare that we are fighting. We have goals to accomplish. Some of you have children, and I know you think about your children and what your goals are for those children and what needs to be done in their lives and their education and in their character building and their development. Do you not go to the throne of grace and ask for wisdom? What was it that Solomon did when he first realized that he had the responsibility of taking care of such a great people? He told God, he just said, I'm but a child. And what did he ask for? Lord, give me wisdom. Now, Solomon had not read what James wrote, because James wrote many, many years later. And he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you lack wisdom, which is the ability to take the knowledge you have and apply it in the right way, to use it in the best way possible, effectively, efficiently, to do the right thing, we need wisdom. And if you lack it, you need to ask of God. You know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But those of us who know that there is a God know that He is the source of wisdom. He's the source of strength. Scripture teaches us that He holds our breath in His hand. So we must look to Him for everything. Now, if we are part of the agenda that He has put forth, if He has called us into His service, and you can call it a warfare, you can call it a game, or you can call it whatever you want to, there's a purpose for our lives. And if He's called us to serve Him, then we need to constantly be going to Him to ask for wisdom and for strength and for direction so that we use our time and our energy in the right way. Let's notice some things that He has said in His Word. Would you go to Matthew 28 with me, please? And let's see what the Lord has told us. Now, this woman who said, I don't ask for things, I just thank God for things. I know she had a good motive in saying that. She was trying to say that I don't ask for things of the world. I don't ask for stuff. I don't ask for creature comforts because God has been so good to me. But what she was missing is asking God to make her the best woman she could be. What she was missing was, God, give me wisdom to be the best grandmother and the best mother, and to serve You as I should. As the Scripture said, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We must never be asking for that. And I applaud her for not wanting to ask for things of the world. But I want to encourage that woman the next time I get to visit with her that we do need to ask for things that advance God's cause in this earth. Let's see what he told us in Matthew 28, the last part of it here in verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The instruction is to go and to teach and to baptize and teach these people to observe all the things that the Lord had commanded these men he was talking to. He's talking to these men and he says, you go and you teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Well, one of the things he commanded them was to go. And you know what they need to teach new believers and converts? I think it'd be kind of strange if they went into some part of the world and preached the gospel to them and people all excited and said, what do we need to do? And they said, well, we're the ones that are supposed to go because Jesus told us that you need to just sit here and there's nothing for you to do. That would be a strange way of going on, wouldn't it? No, he said, you teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And what is that? They need to also be witnesses. You'll find that the church at Jerusalem, they really weren't wanting to get out and do these things, to go and spread the word. So what happened? Great persecution came. And because of persecution, where did they go? They went everywhere. And as they went, they preached the word, and the word of God was spread abroad because they had persecution, which ran them away from Jerusalem. God said, go. We just sang a song that says, go forth on wings of faith and prayer. Go forth. We have a message to share. Let's look and see a few other things God said. Look in Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, the Lord says, let's put a little backdrop to it. Verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Well, Lord, you have 70 there. I mean, 70 that you're sending out. That's a pretty good number, wouldn't you think? But the Lord said, the harvest is great and the laborers are few. And he gives them instruction. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, we need to pray more. The Lord Jesus Christ here is instructing prayer needs to be made that God would send laborers in. Because these laborers are necessary. People to labor in faith and in love. To labor in the word. To labor in prayer. This is something necessary to achieve the things that God has called us to achieve. Look at Acts. If you'll move over to Acts, and we'll notice two spots over in Acts. Acts 26. The Lord appeared to Paul, and it has been, his name was Saul at that time. And Saul's name was changed to Paul. And we find over here that Paul is giving a recount of what happened when God appeared unto him. And listen to what he says here as he talks in Acts 26, verse 14. After he talked about the light from heaven that was so bright, brighter than the noonday sun, he says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto you, or unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This sounds like a pretty tall order, doesn't it? The Lord says, I've called you for this purpose. And here's a man who was going about persecuting the church, going his own way, thinking he was doing God's service. And the Lord appears to him and says, here's the new purpose for you. No longer are you going to go doing these things that are against me, but you're going to do some things for me. He told Ananias about Paul. He said, he is a chosen vessel for me. You remember how the Lord chose Jeremiah, and he spoke to Jeremiah, and he said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and I called thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. You know, if God has his eye on you and wants to call you into his service, it's time to listen and pay attention and get busy. And there's many of you here today that God has called. He's called you to be saints. He's called you to worship him. He's called you to be a warrior in his service. And he's called you to prayer. We'll see that Paul was a man of prayer. But let's notice something as we back up in Acts and see something else that was told to Paul in verse 18 or chapter 18. Here's in chapter 18 of Acts some more red letters. It says here that the Lord spoke to Paul in the nighttime by a vision. Listen to what he said. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Do you see that the Lord has an agenda, that God has a purpose, that he calls men to preach his word and to testify of his goodness? For what purpose? So others can hear it. So others can rejoice in it and obey it, as Paul said to Romans, in the book of Romans. If you started there and looked at the very first chapter, what was it for? What was his message for? It's for obedience to the faith among all nations. The word is to go out. There is a purpose. We go to 1 Corinthians 3, and you'll find that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here, and listen to what he says to them. He first talks about how they have some divisions because some people say that I'm of Paul and others said I'm of Apollos. You know, some people liked Paul and his ministry and some liked Apollos, and a little bit of division there. And he says that's not very wise. What does he say there in verse 5 of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 5? He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul and Apollos, well, they're just preachers that shared the word with you, and you heard the word and you believed it and rejoiced in it, and it's because the Lord gave it to you, and the Lord blessed you to see it, blessed you to understand it. Who is Paul and Apollos? It's just like they're like a little mailman that brings the mail. You know, the mail comes and you open up the letter and you read the letter. What's important is the letter, not the mailman. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He goes on to say, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The Lord has called men and women, called us to be witnesses for his name, to testify of his name. Now, it's our time and our duty to start praying. Because where do we go? Chris, Jacob, where do you go? Where do y'all go to share the word with people? Who do you talk to? Brother Dwayne, who do you talk to as you go out about your business? The doors need to be opened by the Lord. You need to be directed by the Lord to know who to visit with, who to talk to. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them on one occasion, in Mark, since you like the book of Mark, we can go over to Mark, and he said, some men to follow him, and he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, they were fishing for fish, and they fished for fish so they could eat the fish. We don't fish for men so that we can hurt the men. You know, the fish, I'm not sure they're so happy about fishermen catching them and then cooking them so that they can be someone's meal. The Lord says, you've been fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And now we don't fish for men for our own purposes or for our own enjoyment. We fish for men so that they also can know the Savior that we know. So that they also can hear the word that we have heard. Because he said, Paul, I've appeared to you for this purpose. And what was it? It was to turn them from darkness to light. They're out here serving the world and serving the flesh. And they need to hear the truth about God. You know, they may have some idea of who God is. They may have some longings from time to time just to know a little bit more about God. In fact, I know a man named Cornelius I read about. He sure had a longing to hear a little bit more about God, did he not? And the Lord sent Peter to him, and he heard a lot more about this God that he served already in prayers. He was already praying to God. What state are people in? Some are already maybe looking and thinking about it. Some maybe not at all. But we need to go out and share the word with them, because without them hearing the word, they're never going to enjoy the understanding that we have today. Now, should we only be concerned about catching them, fishing for men? No, we need to be concerned about ourselves and each other, because they are in darkness and need to be turned from darkness to light. But how much darkness do we still have in ourselves? And how much more of the light do we need to see? We should be praying that God would advance His kingdom there and also in us. That should be our goal. Let's look at Luke 11, please. If you'll turn to Luke 11. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, let me tell you this. In the book of James, it says in one place, you have not because you ask not. And it also says, sometimes you have not because you ask amiss. You ask for something that you can consume upon your own lust. But sometimes you have not because you ask not. The same book of James is the book that said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him. Sometimes we get the idea God is sovereign. God's got everything worked out. Everything's already planned. There's really nothing I can do to change anything. So why pray? If you're ever there, if you're even close to there, I want you to know that's an unbiblical understanding of prayer. Don't ever get in that fix where you think, well, God's already got it all worked out and it won't make any difference whether or not I pray, because the Bible teaches very plainly that it does make a difference when you pray. And if you can't reconcile those two things, I'd love to visit with you later. If that is a problem at all, I would love to. It's not the scope of my message today to talk about that particular thing, but I want you to see just from the word that prayer does make a difference. So the Lord, his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he goes on and the Lord says this, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Interestingly enough, the woman who said, all I do is thank God, I don't ask for things, apparently has not read the example prayer or a model prayer that the Lord has placed before us. I see here, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, he's giving glory to God, but he's asking for some things. For God's kingdom to come, for it to expand, for it to be advanced in the earth. In other words, as the will of the Father is done in heaven, so may the will of God be done here. You see how the Lord is in the business here? He's in the fight. He knows what the agenda is. He says, "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" What was the agenda? He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why? He had someone to see there. That's why. Someone to talk to. And I kind of dropped off that picture about the fish earlier and didn't finish with it. We don't pick up fish. We get fish to cook. But why do we catch men? We catch men for their benefit. And see, the Lord Jesus had that view. He went through Samaria to talk to the woman at the well. Why? For her benefit and also for God's glory. It's great. I've heard people say we need a win-win situation. You know, things ought to be a win-win. I tell you, you serve God, it is a win-win situation. You serve God and you will be blessed beyond measure. Doesn't mean that you won't have afflictions. Doesn't mean you won't have persecutions. But the Lord lets you know, it's very clear, when you're persecuted, rejoice. That's a great place to be. For so persecuted they, the prophets that were before you. And you know, whenever you're persecuted, you can rejoice because God, by His grace, is there with you and gives you the strength to go through it. And you can go through it joyfully. I remember some people who took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing that in heaven they had a greater substance, a more enduring substance. And they were not attached to the things of this world, as you were talking about earlier. Their heart was in heaven. Their mind, if you're risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above. And if that's where you are, then you're going to be blessed. Well, he says, give us this day our daily bread. See, here's a request. And this could be the spiritual bread as we feast on the spiritual bread from heaven. But you know what? It's also the bread we eat. I'm talking about real food. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. That looks like a request to me also. So this is just full of requests. And he says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go with him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him." That's a sad state. Wouldn't it be terrible to have friends come in a journey and they knock on your door? "Oh, it's so good to see you." And they say, "I'm so hungry." And you say, "I'm so empty of food. I don't have anything." That'd be a sad state. So you run next door and you knock on the door and you say, "I need some bread. I know you have some. I saw you bring it home from the supermarket yesterday. You have plenty of it. Just 1 loaf, please. I'll pay you back later." "Go away. I'm already in bed. I'm asleep. Come talk to me tomorrow." "No, no, no, no. You keep knocking and you keep knocking. I need this bread. I really need this bread." And what does Jesus say about it? "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." In other words, the guy won't go away. I'm going to get up and give him some bread to get rid of him. Now, Jesus is teaching this for a reason. Let's read on and see what he says. "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now, apparently Jesus hadn't got in on this understanding that prayer doesn't make any difference that some people have. Some people think prayer makes no difference. Jesus said, "Ask, and you shall receive." That's what he's saying here. Let's read on. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he him for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Isn't that what you need? We have some young people here going, you know, almost through with college or maybe just finished with college, entering into life's ambitions. What do you need more than the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you? Is there anything that's greater than that? The Holy Spirit of God to show you which way to walk, to have a voice with you that says, "This is the way, walk herein," that says, "Don't turn Don't turn right. Turn over here. This is the way to go. Don't you need something like that? Don't you need the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate this word as you study it so you can learn to be the man you need to be or the woman you need to be? And we need to be praying and asking God for that. But it says here that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to who? To them that ask Him. You see that we need to be asking. He's a great provider, and we should ask. Turn to Acts chapter 4, and let's see some examples of people asking. In my studies, I have just really enjoyed looking at people who've asked the Lord for things and the way that He has answered. And this is in the early days of the church. And some people are threatening. There's all kinds of threatenings from the world. And look at this in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Did you hear that? Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Do you have problems speaking God's word? Are you sometimes timid? Have you prayed and asked Him to give you boldness? That's what they're doing right here, aren't they? Let's read on and see what happens. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. How's that for a quick answer? Give us boldness. And I mean, God gave them boldness. Now, this was the infancy of the church, the early times of the church. And God did some really amazing things in the early part of the church to advance His word and to validate the fact that that this word was truly of Him. Because we see over in Hebrews that the word they spoke, that Jesus spoke, was then confirmed by the apostles, re-spoken by the apostles. And then it said God also confirmed it through signs and wonders and miracles, diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. But here they ask for boldness. Here you go, have some boldness. Let's look at some prayers answered. Look at Acts 12. Now, I hope I'm talking to people who know your Bibles and I don't have to read this whole context, but here Peter's in prison. Why is he in prison? Because he's preaching Jesus. And actually, Herod had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he thought, well, I'll take Peter also. So he wants to take Peter, and he's probably going to kill Peter. Take his head off with the sword. So what did the church do? They said, we need a prayer meeting. I mean, they got together and they prayed for Peter. And let's see what happens with Peter. Peter here, instead of staying up worried and biting his fingernails and being all nervous, what was Peter doing? He was sleeping. Let's check in verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And then you know how it goes. He went on out the city and then he kind of woke up and surely God has delivered me. And so he goes to where they're praying for him and knocks on the door. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. Why did they say that? They knew he was in prison. How could he be standing at the gate? But they were praying for God to deliver Peter. Sometimes we pray for things and God answers and we're surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when God answers our prayers. We should pray, and when God answers our prayers, we should just rejoice and thank God for it. Well, I think they probably did later after they finally realized, because he continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. and said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Isn't that amazing? Look at Acts 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas, because of preaching the Word of God, they are in prison. And they are in the stocks. And they've got, you know, chains on them. And so it's midnight. And what did Paul and Silas do? They prayed and they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. That's Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And you know what follows there. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And what happened? The doors were opened. And in comes the jailer. And the jailer's all, he had heard the singing and he had heard the praying and he felt the earthquake. And my, this jailer was really wanting to know a few things, wasn't he? What did he say to them? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've heard some people say that he was only worried about the, you know, his boss getting after him because the prison doors all opened and maybe some prisoners escaped. But I think he was worried about a little bit more than that. I think he realized that Paul and Silas knew a holy God and knew something about this holy God. And this man probably felt the weight of his sin and rebellion against that holy God, because he was part of holding them in that prison. I don't know about you, but if a man's going about preaching God's word, doing God's business, and I grab him and I put him in prison and I don't let him out, I might think later, if I realized what I'd done, I might think God may not be too pleased with me. You know, let's go back to the post office analogy. If you take a postman when he comes to your house and throw him in the closet and lock the door, the post office won't be very pleased with you. You know, they find out what you did, you're going to be in trouble. In fact, you don't mess with those people. I don't know if you know the penalties for messing with a postman or robbing. You try to rob a postman, I mean, there are some federal fines and penalties you don't even want to think about. You don't mess with a postman, do you, Brother Dwayne? No way. He goes about his business, and you better not mess with him. I'll tell you, you better not mess with God's messenger when he's going around carrying the word of God. You better not withstand him, and you better not throw him in prison. But he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, they gave an answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. You know, isn't this nice, the way that they got put in prison, and because of that, they were able to share the gospel, the word of the Lord, with this man, and he was baptized. God does that. He did it with Paul many times. He would open doors for Paul that way. Well, let's look at Paul's focus now. We could look at Eleazar praying. Remember, he had to go get a bride for Isaac, and what did he do? He asked God to give him good success that day. And what happened? He had good success. He found the bride for Isaac. We could look at Jacob when he was worried about Esau coming, and Jacob was in fear for his life. And he prayed and he asked God for help. And what did God do? God delivered him. We could look at all kinds of examples. Hannah, who wanted to have a child and was barren. And she prayed and asked for a child and said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you in your service. What did God do? He heard her prayer. He answered and gave her Samuel. What a blessing. You could read about David. Hezekiah. What about Hezekiah? Remember? The Lord sends his messenger. Hezekiah, you're going to die. It's time. And Hezekiah prayed. And God said, I'll add 15 years more. The Lord heard his prayer and answered. Ezra had prayers. Nehemiah prayed. Go through the scriptures and just look at some of those example prayers. But I want to see the focus of Paul's prayers. What was Paul? He was a minister of the gospel. And let's see what he focused on. Romans chapter 1. Turn over there real quickly. And I hope it's important to you to look and see what would Paul focus on. Paul was thankful. The woman I talked to said, I just thank God for things, but I don't ask for anything. She had part of it right. Paul was thankful, and it's good to be thankful. And we should always thank God when we call upon him. We should always call upon him and have some thanksgiving in there. But look at verse 8 of chapter 1 of Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul must have thought that prayer makes a difference. Or why else would he, without ceasing, make mention of them in his prayers? He knew prayer was effective. As the book of James also said, that I didn't quote earlier, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And James let us know that back when Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it did rain, because he asked for rain, as we had a request this morning. He said, Elijah's just a man of like passions just as we are. Yet he prayed that it might not rain, and God answered. You realize God can answer your prayers also? Well, let's look on here in Romans a little further. He says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. You can read more there. If you put notes in there, there's some good things there about his focus and what he wants to do for them. But let's look at some others. Go to Ephesians 1. What did Paul want to see the Romans for? He wanted to impart to them something of a spiritual nature, and that they could be established in serving God. And so he's not out just trying to catch men so he can say something like, well, we caught 25 today. Pat us on the back. You know, it's not a numbers game. All our church is getting bigger. Look at all the men we've caught. We've been casting out. In fact, we got really good. We've got special luring equipment. We added some things to our lures. We've got pool tables and ping pong tables and, you know, whatever. That's not what it's about. It's about catching men so that we can tell them about Christ and they can be set free from their bondages. Are you in bondage today? If you're overcome by something of sin, you're in bondage today. Would you like to be set free from that bondage? I'll tell you who has the keys that can unlock anything that binds you, and that is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him, and you need to say, Lord, I need help. If you're in bondage to cigarettes, or if it's Cokes, or if it's beer, or drugs, or any kind of besetting sin, or maybe you're just in bondage to being a smart aleck like I was for many, many years and probably still am, but don't realize it. You know, we need to ask God, help me. We need to call upon Him. And He's a God that answers prayers. So over here in Ephesians, let's see how He talks to these people. Verse 15, chapter 1. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, wait a minute. He was praying for the Romans. Now he's praying for the Ephesians, the people at Ephesus. This guy's busy, isn't he? Paul hath on his heart the care of all these churches because he cares about them. And he's praying for them. What's he praying for? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh my, let's stop right there. Do you ever wonder, what can I pray for my brothers and sisters? What can I pray for people in the church? How about praying that they know what their hope is and that they know what the glory of their inheritance is and that they would be filled with wisdom and with understanding? This is great, isn't it? And he goes on and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? In other words, toward us who believe. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Do you realize how great the power of God is toward the believer? Think about it. What has he done for you? Paul says, I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. According to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And Paul wants them to understand what he's talking about, all the doctrines of this. He wants them to know this. about how God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now I go to the Philippians. What did Paul pray for the Philippians? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Did he have any requests for them? He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. See, Paul's a thankful man, isn't he? And he's thanking God for them. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He's making request again. Here old Paul never has enough, does he? I mean, it doesn't matter who he's praying about. He's got some requests to offer up to the throne of grace, asking God for something. But just think about this. Anybody here ever serve in the military? Were you in the military by any chance? We all know somebody that served. You were? Yes? Well, if a military man is going about discharging the duty that his superior officer has sent him on, and he runs out of supplies, and he asks, is that a bad thing to ask for supplies when you run out? If you're on the front lines and you're supposed to hold off this position here and don't let the enemy advance, and if they get close, shoot them. That happens in war, doesn't it? Shoot them. Well, if you run out of ammunition and you call back and you say, we're getting low on ammo here. We need some more ammo. And you think they're going to say, listen, fellow, we're busy. You know, we don't really care. Why don't you pick up some rocks and throw them? No, if the commanding officer has an agenda and he wants you to hold that point, he's going to send you the ammunition that you need because you need that ammunition. Is it wrong for you to call upon him and ask for it? Not at all. I'll tell you, folks, if you're up and about the business of your Father in heaven and you're doing the things he's called you to and you run out of ammunition, you call him. Guess what he'll do? He's going to send you the ammunition you need. You run out of wisdom, you call for wisdom, he's going to give you wisdom. You run out of whatever you need, strength, he's going to give you the strength that you need. And you'll be able to accomplish what he's told you that you need to be doing. Well, so let's read on in Philippians. Look what he prays. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled. Oh, don't you love to be filled? I don't know if y'all eat lunch after. Do y'all eat lunch here? You do? Oh, good. I'm hoping that I can fill my plate. And when we're through here, and I hope I can be filled a little bit. And Paul's praying for them not to be filled with the fruits of the field, but look what it says. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You see, the agenda is that people would be called out of darkness to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then they'd be filled with righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, to the glory and praise of God. As Jesus said, don't hide your candle under a bushel, but you need to set it up on a hill. So other men can see your good works and glorify who? Y'all remember how it goes there? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, our good works are not to glorify us. When we walk in wisdom and in love toward people and when we serve people, anytime you are given praise for that, you need to deflect that praise right up to the Lord and say, you need to thank God because I'll tell you, he's the one that gave me the desire and the ability. As it says in Philippians, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So don't ever think you were so smart that you decided you were going to go out and do something good. Because in and of yourself, Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If you had been left up totally to yourself, you'd never accomplish anything good. But if God's given you the grace to want to go and to do good things, give him all the glory. So Paul is praying, and he believes, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, he believes God can answer this prayer. And then he goes on and shares a little bit more of his history with them. But let's go to Colossians. Here's Paul again. Surely this time, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Boy, is he busy now. He's praying for the Romans. He's praying for the people at Ephesus. He's praying for the people at Philippi. He's praying for the people at Colossae. He's a busy man, isn't he? You know why he's praying? Boy, do you know why he's praying? He believes in it, but does he care about those people? That's the thing. Like he told the Philippians, and I didn't read it. He said, I have you in my heart. See, you're in my heart. And the Philippians, there was a special bind or a special connection that he had with the Philippians because they communicated with him and sent him some supplies and, I don't know if it's food, money, whatever it was, but they sent to his necessities. And he told them that God would bless them for that. But he says, we give thanks now for the Colossians ever since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have. And let's see what he's going to pray for them. Verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a list. I want you to take this. Colossians, Romans was good. Ephesians, Philippians, all that stuff was good. But would you please take Colossians home with you? And would you pray this for yourself? And pray it for your family, and pray it for people that you know. And do you see all the things that are being asked here? Being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is something you can pray for, and that'll get your focus right. That's what we're trying to do, is walk worthy of the Lord. You know what? There's so many other places we could go, but since I love Hebrews so much, I want to go to Hebrews, and let's close out in Hebrews. I hope that the point has been made that prayer needs to be made. The Lord said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send in laborers into his harvest. And the Lord has instructed things to pray. And Paul prayed very specific things. And I want to close with Paul's prayer in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, this beautiful book of Hebrews that I love so dearly. And he gets to the end of it, and he has just told them so many wonderful things about the greater covenant that's better than the old covenant, the better tabernacle, the better high priest. He's told them so many wonderful things about such a great salvation that we have. And when he gets down to the very end of it, he says this in verse 20 of chapter 13. Now, and this is the prayer, folks. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that is my prayer for you here. May God work his will, the knowledge of his will, the spiritual understanding. If you're not a fisher of men, I pray that you will soon be one. If you don't care for people around you, I pray that you soon would care. I pray that you would have the mind of Christ, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and be up and about his business, just like the Lord gave the example to us. May God bless you.